10 a.m. And I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is a subcommittee meeting of the Ledge Council Legislative Space Work Group. And I think we'll ask our assistant to do a roll call, please.
All right, this is the Legislative Council Legislative Space Work Group on January 26, 2024. Representative Beatty.
Here.
Representative Harvey.
Here.
Senator Ellis.
Here.
Senator Ellsworth.
I think that's him. Excused.
Senator Flowers.
Excused.
Amy Carlson.
Here.
Jerry Howe.
Here.
Angus McEver.
Here.
Marilyn Miller.
Here.
Carolyn Cheetah.
Here.
And Chair Knudsen.
I am here. All right, we've got a pretty full roll here. We're a few senators who are not yet online. I expect them to get dialed in eventually, but we're just going to go ahead and proceed with what we have on the agenda. The first thing for the agenda item is a discussion of the Department of Administration's proposal for the Legislative Audit Division move. And I think we'll have Mr. McEver discuss that for us, please.
Madam Chair, I'm wondering if Senator Ellsworth is maybe, I see there are ten participants now. I don't know if they're waiting out there. I just got a text from him telling me that I'm here.
Okay, I see there is a phone number, and it ends with 009. I'm guessing that might be Senator, President Ellsworth. And then I see Senator Flowers is now listed online as well.
Okay, great. Maybe what I'll do then, Madam Chair, is I'll give the work group a brief update, and then we'll see if either Senator Ellsworth or Senator Flowers wishes to weigh in.
Thank you. Please proceed. That sounds good.
So a couple of weeks ago, I believe, we received a proposal from the Department of Administration, which is this is the proposal that we think as anticipated under House Bill 856 for how they could go about moving, relocating staff elements from the Audit Division to an alternate location. So Joe handed this out, and it had previously been distributed in PDF form. Briefly, as I think all of you are aware, the potential relocation site is the fourth floor of the Mitchell Building, and it's the west wing or the original part of the Mitchell Building, which fronts the street that runs right down here by the Capitol. So it's the section that faces over toward the Capitol. It's the entire fourth floor. Right now, that's occupied by Department of Revenue, which also have locations on the other side of the Mitchell Building as well. So it's our understanding that part of what's going on here is there's a big dance going on, and there are people moving all over the place. And the rough plan that we're aware of is that staff in the Department of Revenue will at some point in the future be relocated in the Walt Sullivan Building, and this fourth floor is therefore going to be somehow taken over or acquired by the branch for the use of the Audit Division. So the proposal that the Department Administration put forward, hopefully everyone's had a chance to at least look at it in summary form. I think the important thing to consider is there are really just two options presented by Department of Administration, and there's a timing element which I think is important for all of us to consider, and then there's like a practical element relating to renovation. The first option that was proposed is, what keeps getting described as paint and carpet. You know, they say, well, we'll do some paint and we'll do some carpet, and you can move in straight away. which we interpret as meaning in this current calendar year, 2024. The second option is to renovate the space in the Mitchell Building to meet the requirements that the Audit Division has already identified as being necessary for our move to occur. And again, just to remind everybody, the statutory mechanism that was established in House Bill 856 was that the Audit Division would establish its requirements, and the proposal put forward by the Department of Administration must conform to those requirements. In our estimation, the first option, the paint and carpet option, doesn't conform to those requirements. It doesn't produce the configuration that we need. Importantly, it doesn't produce an open plan layout that would allow us to maximize the number of workstations that we have in there. And it doesn't quite get to what we need in terms of other office space. So as put forward by the Department of Administration right now, our feeling is that really there's only one option. It's the second option. It's the full renovation option. That's what's appropriate. That's what meets the requirements under House Bill 856. It's not much of a choice because that's really the only option that we view as being, legally acceptable. I did discuss this with the Audit Committee's advisory group last week. That's the chair and vice chair, Senator Ellsworth, Representative Smith, and Senator Heyman and Representative Schillinger. And the consensus on that group was also that option two is really the only viable option. It's the only practical option that exists, and it's the only one that conforms with the requirements that the Audit Division put forward. So, Madam Chair, I'll pause and see if either President Ellsworth or Senator Flowers has anything else they want to add.
Senator Ellsworth? Ellsworth?
We went and looked at the space the other day, and what we believe is there's some walls that need to be removed, carpet that needs to be done, paint. And our thought is kind of a two-phase process, which is if that can be done, before session, great. So I think we just say, those things need to be accomplished before the move actually occurs. And then, a second phase would be kind of the more longer phase, which is, doing the HVAC and those other things like, security, a door that's, they can just enter by themselves. That's got to be done kind of in the long term. And those things probably are going to take, 3 years as far as getting the HVAC done and what have you. But I think if we, just tell the DOA, look, if those walls can come down, they're not supporting walls, and then carpet and paint can be done if that can happen before session, which I think Giles is under the assumption that it can. When we spoke to, our, I don't know what you want to call him, our Capitol Complex guy, he seemed to think the walls could not be done in a timely manner. So those are the kind of two things that need to happen before, that space is livable.
Okay, to recap, I think and Mr. McGeever, maybe you can nod or say no. Are you in agreement then with what the president just said, that the walls, if we could get the walls removed and new carpet put in, painting, that would be enough renovation that you could make, your team could make the move?
Madam Chair, if as presented in option two, the Department of Administration, and which included a, you know, a detailed enough floor plan. It's probably not a final design, but it's a conceptual design. If that's delivered as laid out there, then yeah, it would meet the requirements that we've established under House Bill 856. I agree with Senator Ellsworth. Timing-wise, I view it as highly unlikely that that can be accomplished this calendar year.
So I'm going to kind of take this to a higher level. So probably option two then is the best option, to do some renovation prior to moving and not expect you to move your people in and then move around while people are renovating. So to get the renovation, at least phase one, good portion done before you could move your people in, and those would meet your needs.
Madam Chair, that's correct. And, you know, Senator, President Ellsworth did reference the additional work that has to occur with Mitchell. Now, that's a bigger lift, and really outside of what I think we should be concerned about right now, because, you know, we're talking about that part of the building is the oldest part of the building. You just have to look at it from the street to make a layman's determination that it needs some work. The facades, the windows, the HVAC, which is currently, you see those janky old window units, all of that has to go for that building to be considered fully functional, in our opinion. Now, again, that's 3 years minimum out from what we can determine. And I don't think that the legislature wants to sit around waiting for that to happen. At the same time, I think I did discuss with President Ellsworth, like, you know, we will need to establish some assurances here about, you know, who controls this space and what level of renovation really does need to occur long term. I don't have an issue with us occupying the floor plan reconfigured and renovated as we've discussed and then waiting for the mechanical part to happen. But we'll want to have some mechanism to hold the executive's feet to the fire to make sure that is going to occur at some point in the future, the near future, near enough future, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is my thought process is, you know, we kind of do this as a two-phase approach, which is phase one, you know, the basics, which is removal of those non-supporting walls, carpet, paint, and then, you know, phase two, which is kind of like the final product. And then my thought process is, you know, the money that we're holding on to until either phase two is done or until there's, you know, maybe a MOA or something like that says, you know, these things will be done by this date. And then we would look at maybe releasing, I think it's $19 million at that point. But there would have to be a concrete, you know, commitment, or we could hold back maybe a smaller amount of money, you know, $4 or $5 million or something like that. But phase one needs to be completed, and, you know, maybe DOA can get it figured out, but from what we've been told, that's, you know, not likely or not possible. But it gives them something to give them a concrete plan going forward.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I don't know if Senator Flowers wanted to weigh in on behalf of the Audit Committee.
Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Angus. I think that all makes sense. Looking at it in two phases and trying to complete phase one ASAP, and if that is possible prior to the next session or the coming session, that would be great. And that's not realistic, so be it. But yeah, I think that all makes sense, and I'm supportive. Thanks.
Okay. Senator Ellis, would you like to comment on this?
My only question is, does this have to get, do we make a recommendation today and then Legislative Council has to approve it? Or I'm just not clear on the steps that we have to do today.
Senator Ellis, I believe that we can come to a consensus recommendation and then we'll move it on to the full Leg Council.
Well, it makes sense to me.
Representative Harvey, would you like to comment on this?
I don't have any additional thanks.
Okay, thank you. Representative Beattie, I see you're online. Would you like to comment on this proposal?
What's been described here sounds like a great plan to me.
Thank you. All right, let me look around here. I think that's all the legislators. I think we'll go ahead and I'll just make a statement that the recommendation back to the Leg Council will be to look at option two for movement of the Legislative Audit Division. And our recommendation is to move ahead with the full renovation scenario, however, knowing that it could be done in phases and that may impact the move-out date for legislative audit. Anybody want to comment on that comment? All right.
I just want to say I think you're spot on and just, you know, call it two phases. I would hate to say that it's option two. I think it's more of a hybrid, which is, you know, do this amount of work to make it livable, workable, and then, and I think option two really doesn't say that. So it's more of a phase as, anyways.
Okay, thank you, Senator. President Ellsworth, I will make sure that that's documented in the report back to the Leg Council, that this should be done in two phases. All right, if there are no other comments regarding this topic, we're going to move on and we're going to talk about the next item, which is the short-term plan that was approved at the November 6th Legislative Council meeting. I think everybody has seen this plan. It's been color-coded. I know the Legislative Council all got copies of this at one time. And I just want to touch base and say, all right, we've got a plan. It was approved by the Leg Council. And I just want to know if there's any other comments regarding this at this time. Comments or concerns? Go ahead, President Ellsworth.
Yeah, I think establishing a bullpen for the Senate is important. I said this last time in our meeting. We did meet with our IT people to say, you know, do you need that space or can we give you other space that could be accommodating? And they agreed that that other space would be accommodating and it would allow us to have a bullpen up there. So we'll probably have a slight revision to this that we can vote on in Leg Council, but just want to make everybody aware.
So, President Ellsworth, I think the proper thing to do then would be to bring this up at the full Leg Council meeting and maybe yep. bring it up as a motion and see if we can make some changes at that time.
Yep, I just wanted to let people be aware.
Okay, thank you, Senator. President Ellsworth. It says Senator Ellsworth on my screen, so that's why I keep calling you Senator Ellsworth.
No problem.
Anybody else want to comment on this item? Representative Harvey, do you have any comments regarding this?
I don't really. I think it's a good plan moving forward. I think it'll get us through this next session. Our caucus leadership has kind of been working with Carolyn a little bit on what furniture and how the layout's going to be in room 064. So I think we're on the right path and happy to move forward.
Okay, thank you, Representative Harvey. Senator Flowers, would you like to opine?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm completely comfortable with the plan for the short-term plan and supportive of Senator Ellsworth's plan on creating the bullpen for his needs. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Beattie, do you have any comments?
No comments.
Thank you. And Senator Ellis is shaking her head. She has no comments. All right. So we will just revisit this slightly at the Ledge Council meeting, whenever that is scheduled. That this will be on the agenda as a recommendation. And at that point, Senate President Ellsworth can make a motion for making some adjustments to that. So, all right, with that, then we're going to move on to the next item, which is discussion of the midterm or medium-term options for space in the Capitol. And I'm not sure who's going to take this up. The gentleman to my left, Mr. Treem, will go ahead and discuss some of these items for us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Joe Treem, Deputy Director with the Legislative Fiscal Division. I've been working with the GO5, so basically the three division directors plus the Chief Clerk of the House and the Secretary of the Senate, and helping them understand the options and basically drafting the plans that they have come up with. And yesterday was one of our last meetings together where there was a decision to move forward what I'm going to be presenting right now. It's the packet that's in front of you, and if you're online, it's six different pages, and I'll just let you know which page we're on first, and then I'll just walk you through which next one to open as we go through the process. Do any of the directors have anything you want to say at the beginning here, or pretty much at the end? At the end works for me. Okay, two things I wanted to mention right at the beginning. And the first page you should have in front of you is called Draft Basement Midterm Alternative D-0, and that's for level zero. All of these plans, there'll be some information on various pages, and it'll mention, for instance, for the divisions, there was an exercise they did before even Henneberry Eddy was on board, which is called a programmatic phase, where we asked the directors to get with their staff and identify space needs. And what that did is that identified what the current space situation is. So for all of their staff members, where they were located, what kind of space, are they in an office, are they in a cube, those various aspects of their office area, if they had any other type of rooms in the process. So basically documenting the existing condition. Then it asked them to look at both current staff and budgeted staff and dictate an optimal type of condition. So in other words, if it's a particular staff member that Director Howell thought should be in an office for confidentiality reasons, let's just say an attorney, then he would identify that as being the case. If Amy had someone who was an analyst who led a committee, Section A, General Government, for instance, the lead fiscal analyst, she would designate them where she thought they should be, which would, in this particular case, leads being in an office. If it was another person on the committee, an analyst also analyzing agency budgets, but not a lead, she assigned them to cubicles. So each director kind of had their way of going at what they currently have and what they see is the kind of workspace that each of these people, depending upon their tasks, should have. So what I did was, within here, you'll see occasionally where something's listed and it says this many offices, this many cubicles, then there's a, in parentheses, P equals, let's just say 15. And so the program equals 15 means that's how many was identified by that particular director that they needed in that area. So you'll be able to compare on the different plans as we go through them that they, looks like this one doesn't quite meet their needs or does meet the needs I've identified. So that's one way if this group wants to move forward with a plan that at least achieves the program identified by the directors, they'll have that option to at least look and see which plans do that and which ones don't. Also, the directors kind of, they heard from legislators in this group through our conference call conversations that there was some priorities, and there may be disagreement on this as far as, you know, not every single legislator may have said this, but enough said this to give them basically a good idea of what kind of space needs. The legislator said, in our existing space, what we most need are our highest priorities right now, and I'll just say what I understand, and then the directors can elaborate if they care to at the time. Number one was another Class 1 House hearing room. The second priority was House committee chairs be in offices, shared offices similar to the Senate. So it's not like 22 chairs and 22 offices, but the target was get 22 into it, either two or three person offices, so they had a desk and a place to conduct their work. And then the third priority was bullpens. And I think as President Ellsworth just said, we understood that loud and clear that that was a Senate priority, and the House also has that in the basement areas too, to make those better bullpen areas. So those are the three main priorities. There may be other priorities, but they had to start, and each one of these plans that you'll see as we go through them, especially for the first floor and the other floors, is basically meets those in different ways. And I'll go through them and start, unless there's any questions at this point, I'll just start on the first page right now.
Madam Chair.
Senator Ellsworth. Ellis.
Yeah,
sorry.
Not married to him. Madam Chair, thank you very much. I just was interested, because this is a basement, on if there are permanent staff in the basement. It looks like maybe LSD. I'm just interested to know.
Madam Chair, Senator Ellis, in this particular plan, there are some of them work remote part of the interim, some don't, but there are permanent assigned locations for basically full-time staff for us. And the left-hand side, and this is again the plan sheet D-0, which is the basement, the OLIS AV and the bills processing on the far left are those sorts of individuals that would be. Carolyn has a little bit of additional detail as well.
Thank you. Senator Ellis, I know a little bit about this. So OLIS AV over here in the corner in room, is that 66? That's where they currently are, and they are full-time employees. The goal was to get any full-time employees out of the basement, because we don't really want them down there. But AV had said that it is such a great location for them because they are so interactive in all of the committee rooms to make sure all the AV needs are met, and that they can, that location enables them to get up and onto the first floor and other floors very quickly. So they said, even though you all might move us out of the basement because it's a good idea not to have, you know, full-time employees down here, that location works really well for us so that we can get immediate response up to the ever-changing committee rooms. The other pinks are session staff, which is only four-month people that would be down there. So that would really be the only one. Now, MPAN is another situation altogether, right there in the middle. All of the equipment that is needed to produce the live streaming, they are in the basement. So that would be it. You're welcome.
Just as an aside here, the AV folks in room 66, the OLIS management would prefer them to be with the service desk people for integration reasons. If we'd like to visit more with Dale about that, we're welcome to. There have been some conversations with the staff down there, but they didn't include in those conversations the manager. So I just raise that as a potential. The MPAN, when we want to talk about that, I just put a bookmark on that to come back to MPAN. The printing and distribution, that space is being reduced, and I think that's really a good idea because in time we're not going to need that much space to house the printers. The House secretaries there, I think, is a really good concept. We've also talked about the Senate secretaries in room 3. That room currently has some IT storage in it, as well as a big work desk that IT is relying on. So long as they have options, and these plans account for those, except, room 29, that's new, right? That from yesterday. So that has some storage in it. If that room, is that currently theirs?
It's got all their equipment in there, air conditioned on one side, the heat of it coming out of the other, all the way to the
so there's
ceiling.
There's still then the displacement of the IT equipment that's in room 3, right? So we need to accommodate for that. That's got to land somewhere, and this plan doesn't account for that yet.
Last evening, late afternoon, we went on a tour with Dale to the basement, and when he led us into room 3, that's a way bigger room than we need, and so we are going to work on that and having the secretaries and still keep some of that down there.
Okay. Well, that might work. If that's more than you need, there could be a wall partition between it, and so it sounds like we might be able to accommodate both needs then. Okay, thank you.
I do have it.
The second thing is that while the secretaries are gone 18 months of the year of the session, you will be able to use that. They will be able to use that secretary room.
Excellent.
So just to be clear, room 076 and 03 in the basement, it says House secretaries and Senate secretaries. That's session staff, so they're only here for 4 months. Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions or comments regarding this floor plan? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For Mr. Howell, I was looking at 05. There's a little blue, and I didn't know if that was permanent staff. And
yeah, 05.
That's a mystery room.
Mystery room.
It's got a big padlock on it.
It holds historical records and books of sessions, and yes.
Hey, excellent.
It's always been down there.
It's where we have the archives of the previous sessions, paper copies, and they generally get cycled out and taken to the Historical Society once they come pick them up every so often.
Thank you.
So it's a temporary storage place.
Yep.
Transition storage place.
We probably need access to it after the session for a period, and then once you get down the road, then you pack it up and send it to archiving in the Historical Society.
Okay. Any other questions on this floor plan or the color coding on the floor plan? We don't see any hands raised online. Representative Beatty, you have any questions or comments?
No comment.
Senator Flowers.
No, I do not have any comments.
Senator Ellsworth. I don't hear a response. I think that means no comment. And I don't see Representative Harvey on there anymore. I don't know if we lost you. Would you like to comment,
yeah,
Senator Harvey?
That's a no comment for me. I'm sorry I had the mute button on.
Thank you, Senator. Representative
Chair,
Harvey.
I know, Derek, Representative Harvey had to drop off for a work responsibility and
okay.
He'll be back.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay. Mr. Treem.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. To cover just a couple more things on the notes before I leave this page, on the right-hand side, you see the areas for the House majority, and it listed under it, and we didn't show exactly where because it would depend upon where the House just wanted this stuff. But workstations, that would accommodate the number of individuals who don't have offices in leadership and in the chair office plans. Conference rooms, a conference room if desired, a break room if desired. And if you notice, there are 11 desks designated with a letter CH on them, and there's 11 chairs located on this floor in offices. We've built a couple of new offices, kind of the furthest ones to the north, which is up on the page, in room 10 area. Those are would require us building a couple walls, but that area down in room 10 has a lot of potential, and walls could do all sorts of wonderful things there. So there's a lot of opportunity to accommodate chairs or the needs for private conference meetings or caucusing and stuff like that. So we would be working with, if this plan was approved, be working with the House to get that configured how they want it. Likewise, on the left-hand side, which is the west area, the House minority bullpen, same exact comments as far as workstations, conference room, and break room. And you see there's kind of a conference room which would be up at the top, 67. Again, walls can move in that area, and we would do what was necessary to provide some really good space so that the minority party could also have areas to conduct their work. And then room 4, which is kind of in the upper right, it currently is designated House majority, but I think that as numbers ebb and flow, that hasn't been decided totally, but that could be an area of transition as numbers change between the minority and majority parties. As stated, the House and Senate secretaries, which are just temp staff, would now be in the basement. That relieves some pressure on the in the minority bullpen area and also on the fourth floor areas as well. Everything else gray is non-legislative. And then, as was already stated, all the little teeny rooms, they're just storage. There's a LFD storage room. There's a financial office storage room, some of the teeny ones in there. And there's just a lot of storage down there. One thing we would recommend if the committee and the chair would like is that at some point in time, there's quite a bit of gray areas, and it might make sense to get a tour to look at all the and really understand what space belongs to what division, how it's being used. Room 3, for instance, has a lot of storage in it, which is why there's an opportunity there that the directors have kind of jumped on to be able to repurpose that. So there are probably other areas. It would also give you a better understanding of the MPAN area and all of the custodial zones and the mechanical rooms, etc. So that would be a recommendation, I think, the directors would have. It would give you a much better understanding, and maybe there's some efficiencies that could be gained in the basement, whether it's storage or whether it's temporary staff usage. It would be one of our recommendations. And Madam Chair, that's basically what I have on that level plan. If unless unless folks had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Treem. I totally agree with your last comment. There's a lot of space here that is undefined. I see their gray boxes, and I think it would give the committee a better idea of what those spaces are currently used for and what they could be possibly repurposed for, if that's at all possible. And I do agree that we maybe should just take a tour, and maybe we'll plan that for our next meeting. Are there any other questions or comments? Director Howe.
Is this the time to talk about MPAN before we leave?
Please, please do. Yes, Mr. Howe.
We have the MPAN organization that is a contract through LSD, and they produce the videos. And if you look here at the video that's being produced on screen, you can see that it gives the agenda item plus the information about the participant in the discussion. To produce those videos, that is coming out of the MPAN organization, and they have four workstations downstairs in that room one. And there's been some discussion about being able to produce more than four simultaneous meetings. Right now during session, if you have five or more committees meeting, four or more, four will be produced, and the fifth to the end will be the static cameras, right? So you won't get the information on the screen, nor will you have the cameras move to the person that is discussing, to the chair and committee members and the public. And a lot of legislators have said how inconvenient it is for the public to participate and watch meetings that are not produced. The reason that we've only got four is because that's all the space we have. During the interim, there is some concern about having remote meetings. And with the MPAN staff there in the basement, their primary responsibility to work with committees that are scheduled here on location at the State Capitol building. When they go remote, we don't have staff to go remote with them. So we can only accommodate remote meetings when we have fewer than four meetings going on in the Capitol building, which is some limitation, and it makes it difficult for staff to schedule and for chairs to schedule meetings when they want to rely on future agenda items that are, somewhat down the road. There's some uncertainty in that. The MPAN organization does a really good job with these videos, as you know, and they're streamed online. They're also streamed on the public television stations. In order for this organization to produce the number of committee meetings to meet demand, there needs to be more space. And these locations need to be inside the Capitol someplace because of all the wiring that goes through to the cameras and the remote. We'd love to take you down there and let you watch how they do that, but they've got a toggle down there with a computer, and they can move those cameras and switch between cameras during committee meetings. If the legislature wants to go, and I know that they do because many of you have talked to me about this, about expanding this capability, we can't do that under this current plan in the Capitol building. And if we don't plan for it now, we'll never be able to do it, right? Because you'll assign this space, and then it'll be locked down. So I raise that just so that we're aware that in order to produce the number of meetings that go on in the Capitol building, and there are as many as 13 simultaneous meetings at the High Point prior to transmittal, we've got the four workstations downstairs. We need to go from four workstations to about 13, 14 workstations in the Capitol, preferably close to or approximating where they're currently located, but they could be moved elsewhere in the building too if we're willing to move the equipment. So this is not a discussion about where they should land or what area they should have. It's just identifying a future need that I think is imperative to the growth of the types of videos that are produced. And I would just lay that out there for your consideration.
Mr. Howe, I would pose a question. When we went through the inventorying and discussing needs for the long-range plan, were those spaces identified at that time? Was that need?
It was not.
Or lack of space identified?
It was not.
Okay. All right, thank you. Anybody else have any questions for Director Howe regarding this specifically, the MPAN space in the basement or the MPAN future needs? All right, I see no hands raised. All right, we will move on to the next page. Mr. Treem.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next page I will talk about is the draft third floor midterm alternative D3, Delta 3. And the reason I'm skipping the first floor is we have three versions of that, and it would be a little smoother, I think, to cover those one after another so you can. But this also gives you the ability to look at the upper floors first and see what's there so that when you look at the first floor, you can understand what you might be lacking. For instance, the bullpens in the basement for the House minority and majority party, seeing that some of those areas have increased with room 4 and with both room 64 and 65 now being minority bullpen space. Wanted to have that pointed out early on. As far as D3, the third floor, not a whole lot going on there. This basically is status quo, and Carolyn, Marilyn can correct me if I'm not right, but it just kind of documents what's there and says it'll just stay that way. And I'm getting the head nods yes, so unless there's any other questions, I can move on to the next plan sheet.
Has everybody had a chance to look at that floor plan? You may be familiar with the way it looks anyway without looking at the floor plan. I don't see anybody that says they have a question regarding this. All right, let's move on to the next page. Mr. Treem.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. The next page will be D, Delta 4, and that's the fourth floor midterm alternative. And some of the changes I'll point out there is the OLIS help desk has been moved there, so the proposal is not to have it in room 412, but to have it in this particular area, and those two spaces kind of interact in a way as far as the function of them. There's 8 senators in rooms 475 and 403 currently. And then the in-between, I think, has some break area, and then there's one individual in room 402. But other than that, the way that interacts with room 412 is by freeing 412 up into being the Senate majority party bullpen, essentially. Those senators would, numerically, 8 senators would move to there, and I think there's another couple on the fourth floor that would move there out of room 405. So if you look just to the left of room 411, there's 405, 405A, 405B. Currently, 405A and B are separate rooms, and those have 2 legislators, 2 senators in each one of them, so there's 4 more. So 8 and 4 would be 12 moving to the bullpen area numerically, and whether it's those individuals, I think that would be the Senate's call on who's in the bullpen, and I don't know if those numbers are perfect, but that's kind of how this plan came together with the directors, and that's basically it. The removal of the walls in room 405 was done to create a bigger hearing room that would give more flexibility to the legislature to have larger hearings rather than have it chopped up into a smaller set of spaces. Madam Chair, that's all I have on that particular floor. If there are any questions, I'd be
happy
to
take. Are there any questions regarding alternative D-4, which is the fourth floor plan? Senator Flowers, I see you shaking your head. Does that mean no questions?
Yes, Madam Chair, I don't have any questions.
Representative Beatty, do you have any questions or comments?
No.
Thank you. President Ellsworth. I'll give you time to find the mute button.
I got nothing for you.
Thank you. I see that the Speaker of the House is also online. Speaker Regeer, would you like to make any comments?
Nope, it makes sense to me.
Thank you. I do have a question then. Mr. Treem, on putting a bullpen in 412, and you said that would entail moving 8 to 12 senators basically out of offices and into a bullpen situation. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
Madam Chair, that's correct, and I think Marilyn's prepared to answer what that means and what how that fits in the overall right. scheme of
So 412 space. Would be the bullpen, but 411 is another office that holds right now six cubicles. So that would be added to the number of. So it would hold at six of those people that we have just said would be moved.
Another question then. What's in 410 and 410A?
410 and 411, 410A are a long kind of hallway. And we have in the past had pages up there. I would like to put them back up there. And then 411 would be kind of a secretary, receptionist, doorkeeper for all those offices up there. They're kind of remote. It's good to have somebody at the door.
So 410A potentially could also be cubicles or office space for senators.
They could.
Okay. Thank you. I see no other hands raised. Looking around the room. All right. I think that's all the questions and comments on that page. Let's go to the next page, Mr. Treem.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Okay, the next page is D-1A, and that's a first floor alternative D-1A. And this is where you start seeing some of that programmatic information for the three divisions I talked about, and then it also just from the color, the tan color is legislative space, so I'll just go over some of those details and then outline, as far as legislative space, what is currently legislative space and what is new legislative space provided in this option. There are two more options beside this one. So starting on the left-hand side, on the west side, the Legislative Audit Division, according to House Bill 856, is supposed to be provided five contiguous offices on the first floor of the Capitol building. In this particular option, they are in that area, and everything, and then HR, or there's an office that may be HR right next to LAD, and that position was formerly in the basement, but everything then to the right-hand side of HR, which would be everything to the east, is pretty much the status quo of the 2025 temporary plan, except for room 173, which is, 101, which is right next to 102. 101 has been changed to a fiscal division office to try to get more spots, since under this current plan, it wasn't conforming with the program needs identified by the LFD director without gaining a little bit more space. So as far as going to the right, the next division is Legislative Services Division, including HR. And again, the blue over next to audit I mentioned was HR, but that is totally at the discretion of LSD, where to put that position, how to have the access be an appropriate level of access for that position, for the confidential sorts of situations that position deals with. But overall, this plan gives 27 walled offices, provides that for LSD, which equals their program identified needs. It provides 6 cubicles, their program identified 11 needed, and I think three of those were touchdown stations. So this is a little bit shy, but again, since it's just kind of broad blue areas with some walls temporarily put in them, this is an area that Legislative Services would attempt to then provide the space for those needs that they would have. But again, this particular plan doesn't quite meet up to the programmatic identified needs without them doing some adjusting of space and changing some to a little bit smaller spaces. There are 0 conference rooms in the LSD portions unless they designate an office as that, which then takes away from the office count. Their programmatic needs, they've identified 1 office for legal staff and 1 conference room, that is, and 1 conference room for research staff, and that's to have larger meetings, and if there's a larger meeting with a confidential sort of a subject area, similar to how the fiscal division uses its conference rooms. As you go over to the LFD side, which is to the east, again, this is in the same location that LFD is in, with the addition of 101 and 173, which are, again, close to rooms 102 and 172. And what this gives is 13 offices. The program identified needs were 14 offices, so it's one less than that, but close. 15 cubicles, the program identified 15 cubicles, 2 conference rooms, and the program identified 3. The reason that the fiscal division director has conference rooms is because of so many of the staff being in cubicles, including 4 lead fiscal analysts of subcommittees that oftentimes have confidential discussions with their chairs to set up meetings, etc. They're in cubicles now, so what Amy has done because of that is to make sure there's places that staff can go to meet with legislators on matters such as that, and that is where she accommodates and is comfortable having more people in the cubicles. So it's 2 different directors with a different philosophy on professional staff, which ones should be in offices and which ones can be in cubes. And then as you look to the lower left, you notice that quite a bit of the Legislative Audit Division wing, the current wing that the Audit Division is in, is tan. That is legislative space. What I did was I showed that there has to be circulation space, just like there is, and you'll see that on every single plan here. There's quite a bit of space. And Henneberry already once said this in one of their meetings, this building has certain things that can't move very well, and just the amount of space for circulation takes away actual square footage that's net usable square footage. So I've tried to identify that so that it visually looked more accurate than showing legislative space that's really more like hallway and circulation, and especially if this is used for hearing rooms, you'd need enough circulation space that we could be getting in and out of those rooms. So that's on that one side. And then another thing that's identified, there are 4 locations where you say CH. Those are chair office, potential chair offices. And I haven't identified anything at all in the west end in the legislative space. I haven't identified anything as an office, potential office, as a hearing room or anything. The directors wanted to identify that as being legislative space at the discretion of the legislature if it's to choose this particular option. But in this particular floor, there are 8 more chair offices in this. The 2 on the left-hand side, adjacent to room 102 and 152, those are existing rooms. And the concept from the directors, and this is the House direct clerk of the House's idea, is those seem to be, even though they're small, They're very good spaces, preferred by some legislators because they're very private. And those particular spaces, and we've built out two more offices just like on the west side hearing rooms in order to accommodate those. So that's eight more plus 11 in the basement. There's 19 already. And there was also on the, I think, fourth floor plan, there was another six individuals. So that brings the total up to 25 for the 22 current chair positions in the house. That kind of exceeds that slightly. But again, I think the chief clerk would, you know, maybe instead of some being three or four to a room, and then using the crow's nest, she might redistribute things a little bit to make it a little bit more equitable, I guess. So the only new space in this is the stuff in legislative audit, new space for the legislative branch in the House. And then room 101 then comes out of legislative function. And I think the thought there was that if anywhere needed to be additional space for staff, that was the best place, because with additional space in the audit wing, that would give the opportunity to build more offices to replace that, and maybe even co-locate offices next to a committee room where the chairs would be associated with that committee room. Madam Chair, that's the bulk of my comments on 1A.
This is all being new to the legislators. We've just gotten these in the last hour, so I don't know if everybody's had a chance to formulate a question yet, but I'm going to go ahead and ask. Senator Flowers, are you able to see this document, and are there any questions that you might have?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am able to see it, and at this point, I do not have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Beattie, would you have any questions?
Chair Knutson, I'd rather see the other options first before commenting.
Okay, thank you, Representative. Let's see. President Ellsworth, would you like to make any comments?
I can't see it because I didn't get the Zoom link. I just got the dial-in number.
But, do that.
I mean, I have faith in the rest of the committee, so.
Okay, Senator Ellis, and she shakes her head no. Speaker Regeer, do you have any questions?
Just one quick question. What is the vault? I walk by that every day, and I'm very curious.
Madam Chair, I believe I can answer that one.
Go ahead.
So, Madam Chair, Mr. Speaker, the vault, it is in fact a vault. There's a an old bank door in there. It's not quite as ornate as the Secretary of State's vault, but it was one of the original features of the building. It's currently housing the permanent records of the Legislative Audit Committee and the Audit Division, in addition to some storage. It's actually two-level. It has a kind of a death trap, wrought iron spiral staircase, if anyone ever wants to go in there and take their life into their hands. So it's a two-level thing. It's really a storage space. And, if or when we relocate, that's likely what its highest and best use will continue to be. And please be careful about locking yourself in there, Mr. Speaker, if you ever venture inside, because I think Candace is the only person in the building who knows the combination.
Hey, don't give anybody any ideas. Okay. So is that something, Mr. McKeever, a director, that you'd want to keep?
Madam Chair, Mr. Speaker, no, I don't think so. I mean, I think we'd prefer to have our records. You know, again, it's an okay space. It's pretty dry. It doesn't smell very good. Certainly not human habitation standard, but it could quite easily function as a good storage area for house committees, for example, or, you know, somewhere the sergeants could access for, you know, or the staff could access for committee all the committee stuff.
Okay. I just throw this out there then. Little spaces like this, when every square foot's at a premium. And we're looking at knocking out walls and getting contractors to throw in little spaces like this, as well as what was the historical one downstairs, the 05 or whatever that was. I mean, if we can store stuff in the new historical society and not here in the Capitol and remodel anything into something usable for the legislature, I think that should be on the table.
Mr. Speaker, at one time, I do believe two or three of us in this room took a tour of the first floor and went into that vault. And it is kind of a scary space, but you make a good point. It could definitely be used for a storage for other uses, particularly the one that we were talking about several months ago was we could put the committee records in there. Currently, the committees are store, or the committee clerks store the records or the notebooks in, I think it's 137?
152. In 156,
and we were talking about converting that to office space and then moving those records into the vault area. So I think you've hit on something that, and we didn't document that, but we did discuss that at an earlier time. Any other questions regarding this? I do have a question. Can somebody tell me, I know it's documented somewhere, but how many square feet are in the audit area? Or can we find that out?
Madam Chair, I have an aggregate gross square foot, which would have to have, I'd have to do some research on reducing it for the audit space, the HR, and the circulation space.
Okay. If we could get those numbers, so we can make a decision on this. And I don't expect you to have those immediately, but maybe just by the next time we meet, if we could just get some gross numbers, I guess. Not including how much room the pillars take out or the hallways, but gross space numbers. Thank you.
Madam Chair, and I can do that. What I'll do in each of these is if the House lost a room, I will take that into account as a negative space adjustment, and then the gained portion is a positive space adjustment, and then have basically a total additional space from what you currently have in the 2025 plan.
Okay. So if I'm clear, then the other changes on this floor plan from status quo would be the addition of the chairs' offices. And which one of those are new? And I know you said it, but I didn't write it on my document. Was it in 102? Those are new ones. And 152? 137, okay. Those are new.
And 152.
And it's the storage area in 152 currently?
New.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Anybody else have any questions or comments, or should we move on to the next page?
Madam Chair, do you want comments as we go, or do you just want to wait till we've seen these all? I mean, it might be better context.
If you want to make your comments now, that's fine, and then we can revisit them again if you want to.
Well, Madam Chair, I think there's a couple of things on alternative one that I wanted to point out, just to give the context from the audit division's perspective. So and this is about the West Wing. It's about the audit space, which of course we know well. And the two things I wanted to point: firstly, the north wall, that bank of offices there. I want to kind of explain a little bit about what the thinking was there. House Bill 856 provides us the 5 contiguous offices. That language was included in the bill as a result of the discussion I had with Senator Esp. And his original thought was the 5 originals that are there which have, again, just to point this out, you know, the audit division has been there for a long time. It's one of the originally constituted legislative staff offices. It's the only constitutionally mandated staff, legislative staff function. And so I know that Senator S appreciates that history. That was part of the reason. There's some tradition and history around the idea that the audit division as the committee staff would continue to occupy that part of the capital. Although what we do suggest here is that we can save everybody some space by creating a wall and putting in like a reception area, which would essentially function as that fifth office. Some important things about that. The separateness is important for us. We do have certain requirements that we have to follow in terms of our ability to access and maintain confidentiality of certain information and certain discussions that we might be having amongst senior leadership in the audit division. So we need that segregation, we need that separateness within the building, and it would be very difficult, if not impossible, for us to really function in a different manner. The other part of this is the potential for putting the HR office right next there, which is where my office currently is. And the thinking there was really that the HR functions, and I'll let Jerry has a vested interest in this too, but the HR function, of course, serves all of the branch, including all of my employees. And the basement is not a good location for that office. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. It needs to be in a better place. But it also needs to have a kind of separateness to it. Staff need to be able to go to the HR function, as you can imagine, in all kinds of circumstances. And having that office just in the mix with everything else makes it difficult. I mean, you can just imagine the practicality of it in terms of, you know, who's sitting outside Kelly's office and what are they there for? Now, this doesn't, of course, you're never going to completely solve that issue. But having it separated like this, I think, would at least potentially meet some of those concerns. So that was a concept that I had in mind when I had originally suggested this. And then the other thing, Madam Chair, is like I know this is not necessarily going to be a completely popular opinion, but I do want to point out that this plan, in my view, gets us closest to the intent of House Bill 856. And the reason I say that, and I'm glad that Joe brought up, you know, some of the legislative priorities in the beginning of his remarks, and he's right. We've gone out and talked to legislators who are currently involved in this and have an interest in it. But of course, me being the kind of guy I am and doing the kind of work I do, I'm going to go back to the law, and I'm going to go back to what the bill originally said. And Section 12, where it talks about eligible use of the legislative branch portion of the funding, says that in the first section, it says the funds may be used to, and then there's a long list of different things, different goals, all of which are good and laudable. But Section 2 then says that priority must be given to projects that improve the legislative process by providing individual office space for legislators, expanding or adding public hearing rooms, or increasing the availability of space for constituent meetings and outreach. And absent any changes in the law in the next session, I think this is what has to guide us. And this plan does maximize that legislative space use. And, you know, I know you're going to hear from the other directors, and I know they have needs, and I know those are important, and I don't want to minimize what they want and what they need and accommodating their staff properly. But I just don't want us losing sight of how this all got started and what we're here for. And so in my mind, this plan gets us closest to that. I know that's an entirely debatable motion, so I will leave it there, Madam Chair.
Thank you for those comments. Does anybody else want to make a comment on this page, this plan, at this point?
I would echo a little bit about Angus's comments with the HR Right. That is a tough position, a tough place to put in this map. That works out pretty well. For the most part, then, LSD is pretty much where they're at. They get a little bit of expansion that would fill the two new positions that we've got, along with a little space for some finance. This plan works. It's probably not my favorite, but it's second in my priority list. So we can look at the others as we go on, and I'd be happy to share further as we go.
All right. Any other comments? Amy,
please. Sure, just to be clear. So this plan is my least favorite. It doesn't meet our programmatic needs as defined last summer, and it splits my team up across the building in ways that make us less efficient. We very much work as a team across different groups of people in different ways. I can talk about that more if it's important to anyone, but it's key to who we are and how we do our work, is that teamwork. This spreads us out all over the place, and, you know, could we make it work in a pinch? Certainly. Does it meet our programmatic needs? No, I don't think it does.
All right. If there are no other comments or concerns on this particular plan, we'll move on to the next page.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next page is 1B, D-1B as in Baker. Okay. Similarly, this shows the programmatic information, and the general concept here, and I think at one point the Chief Clerk and the Secretary of Senate had a comment that if anyone is going to basically be co-located with legislators, it would make sense to have something where the functions are more concentrated, and that's where I think they concluded, and I think Amy kind of agreed with this, if there was an appropriations room, an appropriations type of chair offices, etc., that there's quite a bit of time that the appropriations legislators, and that's about a third of the legislature almost, between the Senate Finance and Claims and House Appropriations. And there's quite a bit of time spent, so that would be the most logical thing. But I think there's also always a debate over whether it's appropriate to have staff and legislators, because you always have a majority party that has more ready and more frequent access to staff in those scenarios, and it can appear to have a bias in staff. That's been one reason that we're always careful, because we represent both minority and majority party in our office, and it tends to depend on who's in the governor's budget office, on who comes to see us more. And right now, we're popular with the minority party, more so than when there was a minority party member in the governor's office. So whether staff should be intermingled or not is, I think, a director's and legislator's opinion. But this is the one plan that made any sense at all as far as meshing folks together. And what this does then, it's a little different color green. It's still green, the LFD spaces on the left. And what this does is there are more offices, because the cubicle area that we use so heavily, there's not the opportunity to have that if we're going to put a hearing room and a conference room in the area. So what we did is we were double bunking individuals, and that's what you see in the data there. 14 one-person offices, which aligns with the program the director of the fiscal division identified. 16 cubicles, and that basically is by using six of the offices as two cubes in each office. And then there's, I think, four other cubicles smattered around kind of in the outside spaces. So that's kind of how it came up with those numbers. And then again, there's two conference rooms in there, in addition to what you see as far as the legislative conference room and hearing room. As you come across the way there, both rooms 173 and 101, which are outside the two hearing rooms with close to them numbers, then you also see the chairs again in the same rooms that were created in the last plan. And that, so that kind of is a gain in legislative space compared to the last plan. When you come over into the right-hand side, Legislative Services Division, including HR, this provides 25 offices. They've identified in their program that they would need 27, 16 cubicles. The program only needs 11, so it would suggest that this would require them to move some people they currently feel are appropriate for office type space because of the nature of their work into cubicles. And currently this plan doesn't have room for conference rooms unless they, since they have a surplus of cubicles, configured some office in the middle portion where the cubicles would normally go. This plan also has Legislative Audit Division in basically one of the, what we call pods, one of the four square pods, the smallest of the group, but it has them in a separate independent area so they could be lock the doors and basically be separate from everyone else, as Director McGeever said. And then again on the west side, there are two spaces identified, and right in here we just showed, well, it's actually a hearing room. It's a slightly different dimension, but similar in size to 102, 172, the four big ones on the first floor, and then a conference room that's a pretty large conference room, which could be conference or offices. And Madam Chair, that's all I have to say on this particular plan sheet.
All right. I don't see anybody with their hand raised in the room. Representative Beattie, do you have anything to say at this time? Are you able to see these documents, Representative Beattie?
Yes, Chair Knutson, I'm looking at them on another screen. Just one quick practical comment. Placing a committee room in the west wing surrounded by office space, if I'm reading this, and I'm on D-1B, I hope I'm on the right deal, I don't see how that would be practical for in terms of management and accommodation of the public. It seems like you're inserting things into workspace that would make that very very difficult and tumultuous some of the times. That would be that's my only observation. I'm anxious to see option C.
Thank you. Senator Flowers, do you have any comment?
I'd agree with Representative Beattie's concern. I'm just not sure how practical that is. Have a committee meeting room there amidst those offices. Thank you.
Thank you. President Ellsworth, I know you don't see these documents. We'll give you a chance to say something, though, if you'd like to.
No, I'm fine.
Thank
Sorry,
you.
My mute button, hopefully it's working, so I'm fine, and I can't see them, so I'm going to defer to the entire group. So,
thank you, Senator. Speaker Regeer.
No, thanks.
And Senator Ellis says no. I'm looking at the document, and I had the same initial reaction that the senator and representative did, that mixing the committee room with the professional staff offices surrounding it just doesn't seem like a good fit to me. And I understand it's the committee that works with those offices the most, but it doesn't seem like a good fit. I'll just leave it at that. And so I'm going to echo and and say, yeah, me too, on those comments. Any other comments? Director Howe?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This particular plan falls short of the LSD programmatic needs, and it doesn't provide that kind of space for the HR, so it doesn't solve that problem. And then I was made aware this morning of the statute that Angus referred to in House Bill 896, referring to Section 217.18.4a, which requires that if audit displaces LSD staff, that LSD staff must get equivalent space on the first floor. And it doesn't appear to me that this plan does that. I'll leave it at that.
All right. Thank you, Director Howe. Anybody else with any comments on this page? All right. Let's go on to the next page then. Mr. Treem.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is the last one, so that should be a positive thing. This is D-1C. C is in Charlie. And this is the last first floor alternative plan the directors chose to move forward to this committee. And starting on the left-hand side, what this does is this moves basically professional staff out to the ends, and then has created a hearing room and converted a currently a staff conference room or office room into legislative conference room or offices. It meets the LFD on the left-hand side. It meets the programmatic numbers, and it has actually additional space in there above and beyond, which in this particular plan, there's a hashed area, and it's a committee room probably two-thirds the size of one of the pods, like one room 154 type rooms. And it's just designated in this plan as a shared legislative or staff conference room. So similar to the conference rooms down in the current East Wing during session, I think legislators are typically in there in the morning and at noon, either meeting on subjects or getting training in areas of either budgeting or some sort of revenue source or whatsoever. So this would create a larger space for that, and also a space for legislators if they wanted to have meetings of a larger nature. Oftentimes also, I think, at least in the House of Probes, it's very common during executive action for the minority committee to come down and use one of the conference rooms in the fiscal wing as well, in the current location of the fiscal wing. As you come across, LAD is located in the currently what would be called the LIPO pod, and that would give them five contiguous offices in there. And then on the right-hand side, legislative services would end up with, in this, 28 offices. Their programmatic needs were 27. It would also leave them room for 12 cubicles, one less than their programmatic needs, and also two conference rooms. And actually, the programmatic need for cubicles is only 11, so I have a mistake there. So it meets their programmatic need for cubicles, and then also it provides space for two conference rooms. It just depends on if they want to put that in one of those offices, or they have some excess cube space. Again, these are just broad colored areas that if services ended up in a place like this, they would decide how they want to carve that space up and what functions they'd want in what areas. For instance, where would HR go, etc. And then as you look in the lower left-hand side, again, that references the shared, a new shared legislative staff conference room. And then if you look at rooms 154 and 155, currently where the financial resource offices is, we took the walls out of that particular room, so it's just one large room, and would end up being a open hearing room of about close to 900 square feet. And then also kind of near the center, there's a new legislative conference room or offices. Again, that currently houses staff, and its plan is in the 2025 plan to continue to house staff, but this would free that up for legislative use, whether that's offices or a conference room. And Madam Chair, that's basically all I have on this one.
All right, thank you, Mr. Treem. I'm looking for comments on this page.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I think this plan meets both the services division and the fiscal division programmatic needs, gives additional hearing room and some additional conference room or office space over the others. Anyway.
Okay. I see Representative Harvey's back with us. I'll give him a little time. Representative Beattie.
Thank you, Chair Knutson. So I like this plan. I like this plan because although it doesn't go as far as some others, it does provide us for new legislative hearing room. It does provide for a bit more office space, and when you take that in consideration with what I've seen on the other floors, I think that's satisfactory. And finally, with this consolidation of LSD staff in one wing and LFD staff in another, I think this has to be the most efficient plan in terms of effective operation of those of this our staff, which is vital to us getting our job done. And I would point out that option one, retaining the smear of our staff across the first floor, I got to say, there's no one in the world that if they were starting with a blank slate and designing off and assigning office space without some sort of, having to deal with a status quo situation, that would ever design option one. It doesn't make sense, and I don't see why we would continue with a space allocation that clearly is not efficient from a staff standpoint. And I am not persuaded by historical arguments that the audit division ought to occupy any certain portion of this building. If you were an extremist in terms of wanting to stick with tradition, we should probably tear the east and the west wings down since they weren't part of the Capitol in the first place. That was sort of like a joke.
Kind of a serious crowd, so it's hard for us to catch a joke. Senator Flowers.
Yeah, this plan also makes the most sense to me. I am curious, though. I would like to give Angus an opportunity to comment on this alternative compared to 1A, which he preferred.
Madam Chair, Senator Flowers, notwithstanding Representative Beattie's opinions about traditions, that's for the legislature as a whole to kind of make that determination about what they think is important. I think the 1A plan offers you the best shot at a functional Class 1 hearing room. And again, we've been talking about this amongst the directors all along. Is we can churn these plans out till the cows come home. I think I can speak for most of the directors that were kind of planned out. I'm certainly not in the mood for seeing any more floor plans. I've got a stack of them on my desk. So it comes back to you. It comes back to what you're looking for. I do think that we need to pay attention to the wording of House Bill 856. I think the laws that we pass and codify are important, and I think there's clearly some fairly strong direction and intent in that language. And my concern with the other two alternatives is that it doesn't appear to maximize the priorities that are laid out there. Now, that, you know, again, that's those are legislative priorities. It comes back to members of the legislature to look at this and to make that determination about how high those priorities should be. And, you know, I guess maybe the only other thing I'll say, Madam Chair, is like, you know, it's 1A is focused on providing the House with more functional office space, which I just think is sorely lacking at the moment. And, you know, I remember talking with the Speaker about House Bill 856 when it first came about and we were first dealing with it during the session. And, you know, I couldn't help but agree with him and to provide the comment for him that, you know, I just think it's kind of ridiculous that, you know, we have members of the legislature having to, you know, hold meetings in, you know, in broom cupboards in the basement. I think that reflects on all of us. And, you know, yeah, I mean, Representative Beattie's making a good point that you don't, you certainly wouldn't design the layout the way that we currently have it. And, you know, but I think hopefully all of us can also agree that if we were really going to think about what potentially could strengthen this institution and make the session work better, that some more functional, collaborative office space, constituent meeting space, and hearing rooms. In my mind, those are still the priority, notwithstanding what House Bill 856 might have said.
Amy?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, and I'm just an opinion, I know, but I do believe that the entire expansion of the basement level with actual real cubicles that are a part of this overall plan, in addition to actual real offices for all House chairmen, albeit shared, but we don't have individual offices in the Senate either. It also expands a hearing room and other office space and other meeting space. I think it does do exactly what Angus is saying 856 does. The third one, I mean, all of the options do that. They all include additional space for the House members to have real cubes with real space that's theirs and place for meetings. So I don't think that any of the alternatives presented don't meet that criteria. And I just don't believe that that's true. I just think Carolyn and Marilyn worked very hard to make sure that all of those bases are covered first. That was where the priorities, the bullpen and getting that situation fixed, the chairman offices, albeit shared, was the highest priority. Those were the first things we tried to solve. Everything else was third place, right? So the hearing room, what size of hearing room is in play, but not whether or not there's a hearing room is not in play. So, I mean, I again, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but I don't agree that Angus's way of looking at it is the only way to see it consistent with 856.
Director Howe.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this is my preferred plan, but I'm not turning a deaf ear to what Angus has to say. If this floor was the only floor being remodeled under this plan, I think that Angus's point would be really important. But taken as a totality, when we look at the first floor, the basement, as well as the third and the fourth floors, expanding bullpens and doing all of that, I think this is about as close as we can get without going below the programmatic needs of your staff, right? So if you want to build committee rooms and ask your staff to retreat and to have less staff or less space than they currently have, then the option that you'll want is the first one, right? If you look at it all on balance, in my view, this meets the statutory obligations as well. Angus gets his space that is centrally located with a with an entrance to it, so it's private, which was an important concept to him. LSD comes out of two pods and takes up the space that Fiscal had. And although this space, as you look at it, right, you've got the staircase over there, and you've also got a staircase coming to the other. So these are smaller spaces than on the other side. But the good news is this shared office space that is so important to Fiscal, it's got a lot of advantages here. The thing that I like about it in terms of the LSD staff is that it has, I think we can make a spot for the HR. And the other thing that we haven't talked, gave me a heart attack. the our finance office, right? We have the finance office going over to the old Board of Health, which is going to require legislators when they submit claims to walk across the street in session. And that's not an impossible thing. But under this plan, I think that we would have a space that we could have someone from the finance office in somewhere in this blue area to help be convenient for legislators submitting claims. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay, Representative Harvey, would you like to comment on this?
Yeah, I like this plan also. I guess my only concern around it would be, is this additional committee room going to be the size that we want going forward? I do think that the first floor, opposed to a fourth floor committee room, provides better access in and out of the room and kind of overflow space. But I'd be interested just to see what we could configure in that room and how large it would end up being with the pillar and stuff like that. So, but overall, I like this plan compared to the other two.
Speaker Regeer, would you like to comment?
Yeah, Lynn, it's a tough decision. Like I said, we obviously needed a lot more space since that annex building, which, you know, and not to bring up the annex building again, but hopefully, I was looking at the agenda, hopefully we can look at just even a funding stream or setting up the future once we're all gone, but opportunity for the future to expand, because as we can see right now, we're short on space for everybody. So it's, I think it's going to be a decision that we're going to have to make. That's why we're legislators. So nothing more than that.
Okay. I guess, are there any other comments? Representative Harvey, on page 72 of the Hennebery Eddy Architects Long Range Plan, draft plan, there is a configuration using that legislative hearing room as it's shown on alternative D1C. There's a configuration in that, a schematic shown on that page. If you want to pull that out and look at that, it'll kind of give you some idea.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Anybody else? I do have a comment if nobody else has one. I'm going to go ahead. Although I understand the separation, having LFD on one end and LSD on the other end of the building with legislative space in the middle, I like that because it is efficient. My concern with this page is the size of that new hearing room. 900 square feet is not a very big hearing room, and we were asking for an additional large hearing room. So this would not be my favorite option. I'm going to go back to option 1, D-1A, where the audit space is converted to probably a hearing room and probably some additional offices. We see one configuration or one possible schematic drawing, but that doesn't mean that's the only way that we could configure that room. But I do see with this option, we would have the opportunity for a larger committee room than if we went with D1C. So that's my comment. I don't see that this gives us a big enough committee room on the D1C. One of our consternations has been the size of the committee rooms on the fourth floor. They're tiny. They're hard to get to. And we're hoping that we could repurpose one of those rooms and get something on the first floor that's bigger and a little more convenient. And I don't feel that maybe a 900 square foot small committee room meets that purpose. It would make a nice meeting room, conference room. I could agree with that, but I don't think that size is big enough for another committee room. And that's my final comment on that. Does anybody else want to make a comment on this? Okay, so what I'm going to suggest then is we are scheduled to have one more space meeting room, or we're planning to have, one more space meeting in the future. And I want to, we would like to have it in the next week or 10 days, if possible. We had tentatively scheduled, I don't have it in front of me. On February 8th, and we can talk about whether or not that's the appropriate time. But what I'm going to suggest is let us ruminate on these alternatives a little bit. I would like the committee members to all, consider these. We all took some notes, and then be prepared on the next meeting to vote and have a decision about what we want to move forward to the Ledge Council. And so I'm going to propose that we give ourselves a little bit of time to work through this, think about this, maybe cuss and discuss amongst ourselves and amongst the directors about why we think one alternative is better than the other. But I'm going to hold off having a vote or a decision on these until the next meeting. All right. Are there any more comments regarding that decision or that statement? Does that work for everybody?
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
I just have a question for context. The current, I forget the room numbers, the current committee rooms at the top of the stairs on the fourth floor are the small ones?
Yes.
How many square feet are those two?
I'm not sure. I see somebody scrambling for a book, maybe trying to find it out. Can you hold that question and we'll try to respond?
Okay.
Madam Chair, I'll have to get those. You must be talking about 472 and the 455, which are in the west wing on the fourth floor?
Correct. Thank you.
Okay. I'll look into those and get those as well as what's been requested on the first floor.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? All right. I see no other questions. Let's move on to the next agenda item. Discuss the long-term plans. I'll go ahead and start the discussion on that. We did have, and we are all aware of this, we had a plan that was submitted and not accepted by the Ledge Council. So my thought for this plan is to have this plan rewritten a little bit and maybe soften the recommendation there are several things in this plan that I want to hold on to and make sure that we don't lose, and that is the inventory of the spaces and the inventory and the work done on programmatic needs, legislative needs. That was an amazing task that was accomplished, and I don't want to lose that important work. So my thought is that we would have this document rewritten to include a couple of other recommendations. Instead of just recommending that we move forward with building a new annex to the Capitol, I would like to say that perhaps we look at options and leave it open-ended. But also my recommendation is that this process is not done yet, that we continue this process, we continue revisiting a long-term plan in a subsequent legislative session or a subsequent interim. So in essence, that makes the long-term plan a living document that we will continue to work on and maybe move the timeline out a ways on that. So, and I have talked to a few of you about this. I don't think we're just ready today to say that here's our final plan and this is what we need to do. So I'd like to have some comment on that, if I could. Representative Beatty, you look like you're ready to speak.
Chair Knudsen, so I did not watch the Legislative Council meeting. Obviously, the plan was not accepted, I guess, or accepted for implementation might be a better thing. It'd be nice if we could get it to the point that the Legislative Council actually accepts the document. And I don't know what it will take to word that in a way that is acceptable. I think the key thing to emphasize is that this plan is the result of doing a thorough evaluation of space requirements and represents a solution that fully accommodates space requirements that are accepted. I'm trying to phrase this correctly, but are based upon acceptable planning parameters within the industry that for instance, our consultants work in. It is an option that meets those requirements. It's up to the legislature to see whether or not it wishes to accommodate those. I think our recommendation ought not to endorse. Clearly, it's not going to work to have it endorse this as something that should be implemented immediately. I think we just leave this as the result of a study decision to be made by the next legislature, and that's the end of it.
Thank you, Representative Beatty. Senator Flowers?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree fundamentally with you. I think the work that was done by Henneberry Eddy, I think, was very well done in terms of identifying needs and kind of assessing where we currently are. So I don't want to lose the value of that work. And so I know when you and I talked previously, it sounded like the plan was to come up with some other alternatives and have those incorporated in this final report that we could then maybe adopt as opposed to kind of a single proposed alternative. And I think that makes sense, and it might be something that would pass muster with the Legislative Council. So I would support that direction. And I'm also really curious to hear alternative funding options. I know Amy Carlson was working on that. I don't know whether she's prepared to talk about that today or not, but I think ultimately that's going to become part of the discussion, so I'd be interested in that as well. Thank you.
Madam Chairman, we have put together concepts. We didn't bring that to this meeting not knowing that it wasn't on the agenda anyway, but we could definitely be prepared to talk about that at the next meeting, like the different funding concepts that could move forward.
Okay, I think that would be advisable. Is that, does that meet your need, Senator?
Yes, Madam Chair, that would be great.
Thank you. Representative Harvey, would you like to speak?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I'm really proud of the work we did on this project, and I do agree. I think it needs to be a living document that moves forward and that it continues to get worked on. You know, looking in hindsight, I wish we would have left the estimated dollar piece out of it, because I think that as soon as that got put on paper, that's what everybody jumped to, instead of looking at the work around the space and, you know, what the concepts were to fix our need for space. It seems like it just got, everything got jumped to the dollar. So I would like to see it moving forward. You know, I'd love to work on helping find a funding source for the future. I don't think these space problems that we have now are going to get any smaller. And I think that the more we can keep moving forward with a true long-range plan, you know, even if it takes 10, 20 years down the road, if we can set the groundwork and get this process continued moving in small steps, I think that's a great way to go.
Thank you, Representative. Let's see. Senator, President Ellsworth, it looks like we've dropped you offline or you're not with us anymore. I don't see your name on the screen anymore. Speaker Regeer, would you like to speak?
Thank you, Speaker Pro Tem. So once again, just to take it back to the high level, we had three different steps for this. One is the temporary for next session, which we already voted on that. That's water under the bridge. The second one was this mid-range that we just went over, and we have funding for that. $25 million is already passed and done. That's a big task that we got coming up. The third is that long range with the annex building, which was voted down. So I would say that what we did with Hanbury and Eddie, like you said, was good stuff. It's a good assessment of where we sit and what we need. So I think it's going to be great for the future legislature to take that as a building block. I think what we can add to that is another funding source and have that ready to go for the future legislator to couple a state special with dollars to our needs of the legislature branch. So that's the third one. But we got in this option two here, this task two of the mid-range, that's going to be a big task right there too, as we just saw, to get that together, to get contractors together. I would like to have a plan done, engineered, and ready to go by next session, that we could, after next session, get the contractors in here and start getting ready then for, what would that be, 2027. That's even an aggressive timetable when you start talking. I know it's years out, but that it goes pretty fast. So that's kind of where we sit for all this. So I look forward to adding the funding to that long term. And I like the idea of keeping this committee going and keeping this kind of a permanent, what are the capital needs or what are the legislature's needs, and they can just take it and run with it in the future.
Thank you, Speaker. Senator Ellis would like to speak.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I'm thinking about this with maybe from a staffing point of view. We have a consultant report, and I don't know how you change that without hiring the consultants back. Maybe you have permission to do whatever you want with it. I don't know the answer to that. But I agree that the putting the financial numbers in that report sort of was one of the challenges that I've heard from legislators, certainly, that made them think that the plan was a done deal. And I never anticipated it as a done deal, but I do like the space concept. So I didn't know if we have permission to change the plan without rehiring the consultant, which I think we've been prohibited from doing. I thought perhaps we could craft a craft the concepts in a resolution that legislative council would actually consider, that look perhaps outline, give them the whole plan, but indicate that because we're the decision body, that the space concepts are the ones we want to focus on, and we do want a longer term process to go forward. I don't know if that makes sense. It seems like a hybrid of a bunch of the things that have been said. And part of it's just me being not knowing the relationship with the contractor, if they've allowed us to change things, or I just don't know the answer.
I think I'll give you a partial answer. I think we still have funding available in that contract that we can ask to have the report modified somewhat, and put the edits in it that we're asking for, and then get it pulled back together and then have it available to represent to the Ledge Council. That kind of satisfied the question.
Yes, that helps to know. I thought one of the things that Ledge Council said, we weren't allowed to spend any more money on contractors, and maybe I'm mistaken, and you know better than I on that, because I didn't ever look at the Ledge Council hearing, but that was my understanding. But if we can modify it, I don't have any problems modifying it. I just didn't know if they were giving us permission to change their work when they've done all the design and, you know.
Right. I would agree with you. We are not authorized to take that report and make edits on that and keep their name on it. I just don't see that that's appropriate. But I do believe we do still have money in the contract so that we could ask them to make those modifications, and then we can reprint it and resubmit it. Okay, are there any other comments on that, on the long-range plan then? Or the thought of how to proceed with the long-range plan? Anybody online? I don't see any hands raised. Okay. The next thing on the agenda then is select the next meeting date. Originally, we had said save the date on February 6th. I now have a conflict, and I'm wondering if we could put that meeting in the following week, like February 12th, maybe?
I'm out.
Okay, I got an I'm out. Anybody else? Two out, so that's a bad one then. All right, are you out that whole week? Well, if we stayed with February 6th, it's possible I could Zoom in if Vice Chair Harvey would be able to run the meeting. We could.
It'll be the 8th, actually, Thursday the
8th. I'm sorry, I have the wrong date. Mr. Treem tells me it is February 8th that we had. I potentially may be able to make that, but on that note, though, Representative Harvey, are you available that day? Do you know?
I'm not. I would have to Zoom also. I have a conference the 6th through the 8th.
You have a conflict the 6th through the 8th?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is getting more and more difficult. It's possible, yeah, I'm not going to be able to do the 9th either. I hate to put this off too long. I would like to give everybody some time to spend to review these documents a little bit, but I don't want to wait too long. We need to make a decision, and we need to have something ready to hand off to the Ledge Council. How about, and I don't know, maybe Speaker Regeer can speak to this. Is there, or maybe Director Howe knows, do we have the next Ledge Council meeting scheduled?
The beginning of the interim, the council established some dates for meeting dates. We have not adhered to those as closely as we perhaps should have, but the next date that we have scheduled is March 5th.
Okay.
So everyone on council has that date saved.
All right. Speaker Regeer, is there any reason to think that that date would be changed?
It's really up to you guys. The Ledge Count or the Logistics Subcommittee wrapped up their recommendations, so that committee's done. So we're just kind of waiting on you guys here at Space. I don't mean to, well, maybe I do mean to put some pressure on you.
Don't put any pressure.
Yeah, probably the sooner the better. Like I said before, it's a big task, this medium range of. We got $25 million to get the contractors, the plan together, engineers together. It's a big lift. So just as always, the sooner the better.
All right. Representative Harvey, are you able to participate at all if we had it on the 8th? Could you Zoom in or are you just totally out? All right. I'm not hearing any comments. Let's go ahead. My conflict was on the 6th, but I guess our meeting was scheduled for the 8th. Let's try to keep it on the 8th. Let's assume that we're going to be able to make a decision, and we'll vote on these options, and then I'm not sure that we're going to have a complete report done by then. An edited report, but we can at least agree on the picking a midterm option. So we'll stick with the 8th then, and we'll send out an agenda. I think we'll stick with 10 o'clock, and we'll have Zoom and remote options available. So, all right. Any comment on that meeting date? I see a lot of shaking heads. Okay, the last thing on the agenda then is public comment. Oh, I guess I flipped those around. Public comment. Are there any public comments online? Anybody? Let's see. Katya, are there any comments online?
Madam Chair, there is nobody online currently to testify. Madam Chair.
Thank you. Anybody in the room? Seeing nobody available for public comment, I guess we will adjourn. Any other comments before we actually adjourn? Nope. All right, we're adjourned.